You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I got to tell you, when I sat there as the chairman and we were doing these investigations time and time and time and time again, the biggest publications, the so-called news organizations, were totally incurious because it was negative about Hillary Clinton and her candidacy. And then about the Obama-Biden administration, they never asked a question or had a peep. But the moment Donald Trump was going to become the president of the United States, oh my gosh, we're worried about everything.
Yes, they were. That is former Congressman Jason Chaffetz, Utah, talking about how the media has continually ignored anything that would damage Hillary Clinton or Obama, and doing so even as I speak. October the 1st, 2020, we've got a great 2 hours lined up for you. And on this point about the media and how it's handling things, they are once again pushing out, promoting, shoving, repackaging, relabeling, doing their very best to say that Donald Trump is a racist and every one of you supporting him, that means you're also a racist. And that Trump has not really denounced racism. There are numerous ways that we could go about attacking that statement, and we're going to over the next couple of hours as part of the program, because it's a lie. He's done it repeatedly. What they're seizing on now is his remarks the other day in the debate when asked about the Proud Boys. He said, well, I don't really know anything about them. What do you want me to call? Who do you want me to denounce? And he said, I don't know anything about them. But he said, stand down, stand by. The fact he said stand by, they're suggesting, see, he's got them ready to light their torches and march down and shout, our streets, our streets. That's not at all what it was. And they're buying into it even more because Senator Tim Scott, black Republican, South Carolina, he said, I wish he had said it a little bit better. I think he misspoke. And some other Republicans have acknowledged that maybe he didn't make it as clear as he should have at the debate. But he's done it over and over again. Here's the issue. He's not giving it the way the mainstream media demands he say it. And the fact the way that Chris Wallace insisted, say it this way, or it doesn't count. You're going to hear that coming up in our first segment today. But in the meantime, while they're doing all of that, they're ignoring a big story right in front of them. Right in front of them. They have absolutely turned away from it. New declassified information released by the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday. U.S. Intel forwarded an investigative referral on Hillary Clinton approving, quote, a plan concerning U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections, and that she apparently wanted it done in order to distract the public from her email scandal. And former FBI Director James Comey is being questioned by the Senate Judiciary Committee. And he says, I don't recall that. Doesn't ring a bell? You had that information before it was made public to the rest of us, and it doesn't ring a bell what was going on behind the scenes? Oh, by the way, we know now who won the debate. We know exactly who won the debate. You know how we know now? Well, you've got the debate commission saying we're going to look at redoing it, trying to figure out something new, and even doing something I suggested yesterday, that when I used to co-host a program, a live program with someone, and in order to get him to shut up so we could go to commercial, I told the director, watch for my cue and just shut his mic off. You can hear him in the background, but then I can push us to commercial. We'll take the break as scheduled. Well, the commission's now considering giving the moderator a cutoff button for the presidential candidates. But more importantly, the mainstream media saying that was such a debacle and a mess the other day, there should be no more debates. Just don't even bother with it. Don't do any more. In other words, Joe Biden did not do as well as they wanted. Trump still seems to be the bigger winner. Because when the mainstream media starts saying, let's don't do any more debates, that tells you who they think won, because they don't want Biden back up there. We're going to be joined later in the next couple of hours, John Louboutier from New York, on his thoughts on the debate. And Zach Smith, expert in constitutional law, about these new findings regarding Hillary and the Senate Judiciary Committee. We have so much ready for you. Let your friends and neighbors know we are on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a heavy trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We criticized the vice president for not specifically out Antifa and other left-wing extremist groups. But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you
I'm
prepared
to
specifically
that,
well,
do it?
Well,
I would
ahead,
say
sir.
I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it. Do you want to call them? What do you want to call them? Give me a name.
White supremacists and
right wing. Who would you like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right wing.
Proud Boys. Stand back and stand by, but I'll tell you what, somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left, because this is not a right-wing problem. This is a
left-wing.
This is a left-wing problem.
White supremacist. Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not militia.
And that is, of course, a clip from the debate the other night. And you heard the question set up by Chris Wallace, an extensive question, talking about, are you willing to condemn what we've seen with the violence that we've seen in cities as in Kenosha and Portland? He has condemned those repeatedly, as most Americans have, recognizing that that was no longer First Amendment, that was riot. And President Trump said, sure, I'm willing to do that. And Wallace, are you prepared specifically to do it? I would say, Wallace, go ahead, sir. Trump, I would say almost everything I see is from the left, not from the right wing. And that is true from the events that we just heard Wallace refer to, Kenosha and Portland. And Wallace, so what are you saying? I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace. Well, then do it, sir. I am. And Biden on the other side, say it, do it, say it. and you didn't think Trump was arguing and debating both of them? There you have it. And, of course, you have Biden claiming that Antifa is just an idea. This is days after the White House labeled it a terrorist group. And Trump's response on the spot was really good, and that is, you might think it's an idea until somebody with a bat hits you in the head, then it's not an idea, right? It's just, it's an organization. Trump has been down this road several times. What they continue to gin up, what they try to build upon, his remarks made when he talked about what took place in trying to protect or tear down a statue, a Confederate statue, and he said there are good people on both sides. And that's a fact. It's a fact. But the way it's twisted and turned and shoved down your throat, force-fed you by the media, is he's saying that the right-wingers, the Klan, and the Proud Boys are all part of the good people. That's not at all what he said. He has continually condemned the Klan. And of the Proud Boys the other day, he said, I don't really know that much about them. What do you want me to say about them? And then when he did say something, he said, let law enforcement do its job. Now, again, anytime the media can find any kind of opening, pull the scab a little farther. Let's see what could be under here. And so Senator Tim Scott yesterday, Republican, black Republican, South Carolina, said he thought the president misspoke when he said stand back and stand by and called on him to correct his statement if that really were the case. Well, he did, and the White House did. They made it clear. But not, again, if you don't do it the way the mainstream media wants you to say it, then you're not doing it right. And this is, of course, the same president who the other day laid out his Black America plan. They're calling it the Platinum Plan. And with inside providing money for minority communities and businesses and churches in the areas that would help build the communities up, it states the U.S. will prosecute the KKK and Antifa as terrorist organizations and make lynching a national hate crime. That's in the actual statement and plan. And the left knows it. They don't want you to know it. They want you to look away, not pay attention to it. And then you had a situation that, again, it got played out because they would do what they can with it. And Chris Cuomo had Senator Ted Cruz on his program. And Chris Cuomo decided to once again push this narrative and attacking Trump for telling the Proud Boys, saying, stand back, stand down. Well, stand down first, stand down, stand back. And again, they want you to believe when he said stand back, it means be ready. That's your interpretation. Could Trump have said it better? Yes. I don't know if he really knows that much about the Proud Boys or not. A lot of folks don't. You're learning more about them now. If you follow hate groups, they should have been one of the top at the list because they are violent on their side. They insist they're not, but they are. And the very sight of them marching through streets, torches lit, that's not only just appalling, it is frightening to many, and it should be. But here's Chris Cuomo with Senator Ted Cruz as he's challenging Senator Ted Cruz to put this president in the right frame of mind, and will you do it?
Will you be that voice? Will you say playing nice with the Proud Boys is wrong?
Well, listen, I've condemned the Proud Boys long ago. I think white supremacists, Klansmen, Nazis are ignorant, bigoted morons.
Was the president wrong to to go soft on the Proud Boys in the debate last night?
Oh, look, I wish he had been much clearer in his denunciation. I was glad today that he walked that back.
And, no, he didn't.
I'm glad that he sought to walk it back. I'm glad his campaign sought to walk it back. But let me be clear also, the press is completely hypocritical on this issue.
Really?
The press is partisan in this regard. So 10 years ago, 2010, Joe Biden gave a eulogy for Robert Byrd, who was a Grand Cyclops of the KKK. Yeah. That's 10 years ago.
You're really going to go with that?
Oh, yeah.
I know you're a master debater, and Professor Dershowitz tells me you were the smartest student he ever had at Harvard Law. You're going to go with that weak-ass argument here? Byrd, who had a complete enlightenment about how hate was wrong, who changed his life, who spoke about it?
Yeah, he did do that, but what gets me is that they will go with the narrative that works for them at the time. But prior to that time, Byrd was anti-black on every level. And Hillary Clinton even called him a mentor. And he only made that change and said, I realized I was wrong about it, when it became apparent the mood of the country was in a different direction. They're going to push things like that, and there he is challenging Cruz. You really want to go back on that? You want to talk about that? Well, why not? I mean, look at the things you guys want to bring up that are absolutely false. But, of course, as far as the left is concerned, there's only one storyline, and that is Trump is a racist. And if he doesn't deny it in exactly the same wording they want him to say, then he will be a racist, and more importantly, every one of you voting for him is a racist. I am not a racist, and I doubt many, if most, if not all, I can't speak for all of you, but most that I know are not. I know none of my friends are, because they would not be my friend if that's true. But you got New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez jumping in on it as well, saying Donald Trump is a white supremacist. People have been warning about this for a long time. They were ridiculed, called radical, not because they were wrong, but because others couldn't accept that our country elected a supremacist as president. This is fascism at our door. They want you to be in the same room with them in the fact that Trump is a racist. All right, I told you they're looking at making changes with the debates. And so this must prove who actually ended up winning the debate the other night, if we were in any doubt whatsoever. I'm looking at a piece that I saw first thing this morning, New York Times, the morning report, edited, written, I guess, by David Lynn Hart. And he said the next presidential debate may be different, and that Trump is trying to prevent a normal election. He said there's a theme that runs through President Trump's entire re-election campaign. He's afraid he cannot beat Joe Biden. And so he says that's why he was acting as he did on the stage the other night. And, of course, a lot of us, and I did as well, I said that did not accomplish what it should have done. It was not good for either side. But here is a real solid evidence, in my opinion, that the mainstream media does not want to see Trump and Biden come face-to-face again, which says Biden lost. Because if they thought he really won and was a commander of the situation, they'd say, let's do it again. Let's add another one. Here's a statement from MSNBC post-debate coverage. Host Joy Reid and her colleague, they were asking, were you Joe Biden's team? Would you do another? I said, no. Wolf Blitzer saying, this raises a lot of questions about the future of presidential debate. I think this might be the last. Cooper's asking, should there be other debates? They're all going with the idea, and it got put out in a full op-ed for them in the Atlantic stating, cancel the debates. Cancel the debates. Slate publication also canceled the rest of the debates. And others on the Twitter did the same thing. MSNBC host Joe Scarborough. A disgrace, no reason, not one, that Joe Biden should participate in another debate. Former MSNBC host Melissa Harris Perry canceled the remaining debates. Huffington Post senior reporter canceled the rest of the presidential debates. Because they don't think it helped Biden and hurt him more than it helped him. That's their approach on it. Of course, they're going to say, but Biden will have to go back because you always have to stand up to a bully. But he had got wrapped up in all this that he shouldn't have been in, but just cancel the debates. I told you they're looking for still another way out. I think they're going to go forward, but now you know who won, at least if you judge it by the mainstream media. And, of course, COVID-19, one of the issues for the other night, and it still is, and there was an exchange between Chris Cuomo of CNN and NN regarding his brother and Senator Ted Cruz of Texas regarding COVID. And Cruz delivered, I think, a direct line to Cuomo that I hope resonates with all of you. It's coming up.
Then a ship came around in the middle of the night. Heard mama crying that something wouldn't right. He's headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Then let me say something. There is something disgusting that Democrats are doing, that Joe Biden does, and that you do, which is you try to blame the people who've lost their lives on your political enemies. And that's just not right. It's not right
I'm
at
saying
all.
That when you hear 200,000 people die, you don't say it is what it is. I'm saying that when you could have slowed it down
and
you didn't,
Chris,
you own
when
it.
Your brother has presided over the state with the highest death rate in the country.
Mm-hmm. New York's record will stand for itself.
I know your brother didn't want those people to lose their lives, but you shouldn't play politics
good.
With
So you don't think he intentionally killed them? That's good. That's very charitable of you,
not.
Ted.
Of course not. But I do think we can have a very reasonable policy discussion about the policy mistakes in New York and New Jersey of sending COVID-positive patients into nursing homes.
And that was the whole point that Senator Ted Cruz was trying to make with Chris Cuomo. He said, I have all you guys, I hear all of you on the left, blaming Trump for 200,000 lives, more than that now, 205,000 plus, lost because of COVID, putting it all on Trump and his watch. Well, yeah, it happened on his watch. But they want to hold Trump responsible for every 200,000 lives lost. And every life is valuable. But they want to ignore how they mishandled it at their end, how they would have fought against even putting on restrictions of flights from China, and then later from Europe when Trump realized we have to also do that. They were against it, called him xenophobic, being racist. He didn't like yellow people. He didn't like foreigners. He didn't like immigrants. And now they say he didn't do it fast enough. He wasn't quick enough. He didn't know what he was doing. There was no way he was going to win. But more importantly, it covers up their mistakes. And Senator Ted Cruz said, no, I'm not saying that your brother, the governor, wanted to see those people die. But his order to put them in nursing homes, COVID-19 patients into nursing homes, and tell nursing homes you have to accept them and keep them, that added to it. But, of course, that does not fit the narrative. Leaders in several states now apparently are sounding the alarm about A rising number of COVID-19 cases that experts say, well, we told you it'd be coming. Once the weather got cooler, it'd be the flu and everything coming back in. And, of course, we still don't know. We still don't know. And to the respect of the 200,000 dead, we don't know if they actually died of COVID or died with COVID. There's a big difference. And we do know by stats, even from the CDC, your chances of getting it, if you are, say, getting, should say, dying of it, if you're below 75, your stats are maybe 4% possibility. In the meantime, New York City is showing some 20 hotspot zip codes. They say the average test positivity rate nearly 7 times higher than the rest of the state. So they're pushing again the mask, which means I guess they're going to continue to keep that nation, that city locked down. I'd be interested in hearing what John LaBoutière, he's a resident of New York State, not living in New York City, but just about 20 miles or so outside, what he thinks of how the Democrats have been handling it in his state. John is not a Trumper, considers himself a Reagan Republican, does not like Trump whatsoever. And, of course, I want his take on the debate from the other night. And John still thinks mail-in balloting does not open up fraud. A lot to cover with him when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Glad to have back on board with us John LaBoutière, former U.S. Congressman from New York and author of the book Harvard Hates America. John, is always glad to have you on board, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Love being asked to be on your wonderful show. Good morning.
Did you get the check we sent the other day for your appearance?
It hasn't cleared yet, Larry. What's wrong with that?
I think it got caught in with some mail-in ballots, John. And I'll come back to that. But first of all, we have not had a chance to talk since the debate. So your impression of what took place the other night?
Terrible for everybody, worse for Trump, unnecessary. Trump should not have behaved the way he did. It was really awful. Everybody acknowledges it. And look, we got five.
May I ask one question before you can? You're just going to put all the blame on you? Say only Trump was not behaving properly?
What I said is, I said it was awful for everybody.
Go ahead.
He's the one that broke the rules. He came right from the get-go and would not let Biden answer questions uninterrupted, which you're supposed to do. And he wouldn't do it. And how many times did Chris Wallace have to rebuke him for it? And Chris Wallace was correct when Trump said, well, he's interrupting too. And Wallace said, yeah, but you're doing most of it. And that's true.
And I agree. I agree with that. Go ahead.
Right. And look, the point is, it was unpresidential. Never would we have seen any other president in a debate ever behave that way. But most of all, we got an election coming up. This isn't going to help him. He's trying to get reelected. This is the reason he's losing the election, is stuff like this.
John.
We're talking about it. We're not talking about Biden. We're not talking about Biden's record, his positions, whatever they might be. We're talking every day about Trump did this. Trump called soldiers losers and suckers. Trump trashed evangelicals. I mean, every day.
And where do you think? Where do you think most? Where do you think most of that narrative comes from?
It doesn't matter.
No, it does. Obviously. It does. If they're going to continue shoving your face.
Don't go throwing out. We know the media is against any Republican, not just Trump. This has gone on in my lifetime. I don't remember President Eisenhower, but I sure as hell lived through Nixon and Reagan and the Bushes, and they all got trashed by the mainstream media 24/7. Okay? And I don't want to hear these people who are Johnny come latelys to American politics say, oh, Donald Trump's been treated worse than any Republican. It's not true. Okay? Every one of them was trashed, and there was no Fox News back then. There was no alternative for a conservative Republican to get his message out. There is now. There's Fox. There's the internet. There's talk radio.
All right. I'll let you have that full say there. Now let me ask this. Here's what I said before you joined us. I said if you're really trying to decide who won, I think I've got the answer here because I've got the let me get the documents here in front of me. I have so many here. And here's one of them. It comes from the Atlantic media. Let me see. Several of them. Well, the Atlantic magazine said cancel the debates. MSNBC said the same thing. Huffington Post reporter cancel the rest of the presidential debates. In other words, they don't want Biden back up on that stage with Trump. In other words, to me, that suggests he did not do that well, because if he had had commanding and if he were the winner all the way around, do it again. Sick him.
Well, look, I don't know why each media person who said cancel the debates. I think it was more that the whole thing was a disgusting spectacle. And what's the point of having two more of them? It's not going to do anybody any good.
Do you cancel two football teams that you know are going to be losing teams? They don't really have anything to gain. And you may or may not watch it because there's nothing else to watch. I don't know. I'm asking you.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, the difference in a sports analogy is they got to play the games for the schedule and for standings and the other teams and all that. This thing here, they're going to have these other two debates because neither candidate wants to be the one to pull out and say, I don't want to do it again. Because you look like you're afraid. But look, any reasonable observer will acknowledge that Trump did terribly the other night. I mean, his own staff telling everybody the thing was a train wreck.
I said that the other day, John. I the whole thing. I said I've been to goat ropings and train wrecks, and this was this was better than both of them. And it's also must watch. Folks would say, yeah, let's watch it again. I guarantee you they will. Now, whether or not we get any real substance out of it is a different issue. But yeah, let's watch it.
It's a Jerry Springer show.
It's a Jerry Springer show.
Right, and that's Trump's happy to be there, I guess, because that's the kind of TV he thinks is great. But for the sake of elucidating the voter and having an illuminating discussion, you're not going to get it in this format. Now, the next one is a town hall format where voters are brought into Miami with questions. They're supposed to be undecided voters, pre-screened by the commission to make sure they're not secret Biden or Trump supporters. And each one of them gets up and says, you know, my mother had COVID and here's what didn't happen and blah, blah. What are you going to do about it? And so Trump's going to have to answer questions. Biden's going to have to answer questions. And I guess they won't let them interrupt each other as much. But Larry, meanwhile, by the time that's 2 weeks away, that debate, you know, that by the time we get to that debate, there'll only be 2 weeks left in the campaign and roughly 50% of the votes will already have been cast.
Well, here's
by the time we get to that October 15th debate. It's amazing. This thing's happening right now.
Well, and to that extent, a Monmouth University poll, I think, survey said the other day, said that of the 90 of those who are going to watch it, 75 to 80% said they were going to watch the first debate, but only
90% had their mind made up.
I was going to say exactly that, and only 3% were saying, you know, I might hear something that'll change my mind. In other words, they weren't independent, they weren't undecided, they weren't uncommitted. They didn't know if they'd see or hear anything anyway. All right, let me move to another part of an issue here, which we didn't get a chance to expand fully the other day. You do not believe that there exists voter fraud in mail-in balloting.
No, I don't.
Now, let me clarify. Let me clarify. When I say you don't believe, you're saying there's never any voting fraud. You're not really saying there's never any voting fraud by mail.
Of course not. Okay, but there's no systematic fraud at all in our election system, thank God. And that's not me talking. That is Donald Trump's FBI director, and that is Donald Trump's Election Fraud Commission that he appointed in 2017.
D.C. voters,
Trump supporters, and they disbanded it because they couldn't find any fraud.
You know, D.C. voters are being sent mail-in ballots for ex-residents right now. That's the story now. I had stories the other day, same thing happening in California. Folks getting ballots they didn't request. It wasn't a ballot application. They're getting a ballot.
And well, then, not nine states do that now.
Right.
And there's only one of them. Hold on. There's only one of the nine, Nevada, that is a competitive state. All of the other ones are all already decided where they're going to go. So it's not going to have any effect on the election. They're all like California. Do you have any doubt that Joe Biden will win California?
No. But let me ask you this. Do you have any doubt that folks, if they are not asked to show an ID when they show up to vote in person, they could be committing fraud and be someone they're not?
Well, by the way, in New York State, that's a illegality.
Well, of course it is. But it is everywhere.
No. Listen to me. It's illegal in New York to ask them to produce ID.
So do you think that's possible you could cheat standing right in front of them?
Technically, yes.
There we go.
How many people?
So if you can do it that way, you think you can't do it by mail?
How many people are going to go to the trouble of getting fake ID to go vote?
Really? Well, sometimes in some states, you only need to show a utility bill for an address. Now, they supposedly put that aside as a provisional ballot until it's verified.
Yep.
And then, of course, check signatures against. But you saw how many times over recent times, one, ballots being discarded in the trash, which were military mail-in ballots, and seven of them were verified for Trump. They got discarded into the trash. And I'm not saying it goes one way or the other all the time, but the majority of anyone who says, I don't want to have to prove who I am to vote, that raises a big question for me immediately.
Well, but I'm saying in this state of New York, you cannot be required to prove who you are at the voting station.
Then I may go out there and vote for you.
Say again?
I may come out there and vote for you.
Well, that's very kind, but you have to become a resident of New York State.
Well, how do I have to prove I'm a resident? What do I have to show? I thought you couldn't make me show it.
Well, before you can register, you have to prove you're a resident of New York. Of course you do.
Okay.
It's the day of voting. When you show up to vote, they cannot require you to produce
ID. So I can walk up there and identify myself as you and take your vote before you get there?
Well, you have to sign in. And the signature has to
match. No big deal.
So, and you're committing a felony if you do it.
Oh, well, what the hell? You know me.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I want to ask you something, and I want to know if I can hold you through a commercial break. Because I want to still deal with the COVID issue as well and what's going on within your state on that. You're very gracious with your time, and I appreciate it. And I wanted you to get some of your points in, but also I was trying to move forward. But if you can hold over, we'll have to take a break here. I don't think this is a very long one, but we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with John Lebutier because I still want to hear from you reference COVID and in your state. We will continue with John Lebutier in just a moment. So there may be a mandate. I want to get a verification that the city of New York is mandating masks or you'll be arrested or charged. I want to get there from John when we continue. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so we're back with John Lebutier, former U.S. Congressman from New York and a resident of New York State, living, 20-plus miles outside New York City, is that right?
31 miles, to be exact.
Is that because you run that? You know that's 31?
No, I have an odometer in my car.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you're one of those marathoners and added a few more miles. John, where do they stand? Now, I said going into the break, I've been hearing today, and I haven't had a chance to check it out. Are they mandating in New York City that if you're outdoors, in a park even by yourself, that if you don't have a mask on, you can be arrested and charged a $1,000 fine? Is that right?
I think there's something like that going on. I'm not exactly sure the detail of arresting. I think you can be fined.
Well, it's a good way to.
I think it's up to. I think there's some discretion by the cop on whether you're. If you're by yourself, not near people, I don't think they're going to nail you for it.
I think, but
I might not. I'm not totally sure because I'm out here in Long Island. I know that New York now just changed and opened up restaurants for 25% capacity, and the restaurant people say it's not enough. We need at least 50% capacity as the cold weather comes, and we're going to be, you know, back with the indoor dining, less outdoor dining, and.
Well, I know the other day, I thought de Blasio the other day said there will be no indoor dining until spring, which I guess if you're going to sit outside, they must be putting up tents with heaters.
As of last week, there's 25% capacity indoor dining. And the restaurant, and I happen to know this because I just got an email from a friend of mine who's got a great restaurant that I go to where they're open for indoor dining, but only at 25%. And it's estimated that 50% of the restaurants in New York City will go broke unless this thing gets reversed.
I mean, we've seen those figures, and also I thought there was a figure that came out the other day that something like 75-80% of them could not make their August rent payment, that they were behind in that, and then still trying to.
You know, and I think when we look back on this year and what went wrong, one of the things that went wrong was the fact that Congress can't get it done and with the Trump administration, sit down, all of them, and make a deal to have more money. I mean, the airlines today laid off 40 or 50,000 people.
Right.
All this, we should have avoided it by shoveling out more money to keep people on the payroll. We should have done it.
One other point then along that line, and then I'll have to let you go, and that is if you listen to the left, all 200,000 deaths, all 200,000 are Trump's fault.
Yeah, well, they're not his fault. I don't even know that any are, I don't know, lay them on him. But look, we heard it on tape. He knew this thing was worse than he let on. He did not take hold of this thing properly. And
John, he stopped the flights.
That is one of the sad instances.
He stopped the flights. That's something they didn't think he should do.
He did stop some flights, but not from Europe. And the thing came from Europe onto the East Coast of the United States.
Yeah, from the East Coast. You're right. But they did stop Europe.
But that's not all that he could have done, because what needed to be done, it still needs to be done, is the American people need to be rallied as if we are in a war to take collective action to beat this damn thing down. Now, some states have done it and some haven't, and that's why they're spiking here and not there and all.
All right.
And Trump, he will look back on this thing when he's no longer president, especially if he does lose this year. He'll look back and he'll realize, if I had taken hold of this thing and owned it, I could have been a majority president.
Right,
he could have finally gotten his ratings up to 55 to 60%.
I don't have a lot of time, but I want to say one thing and give you a very quick response. Just because he said he didn't want to panic the American people, yeah, he knew it was worse, and I didn't want to scare the American. I mean, you don't want a president running around, oh, we're all going to die if I don't do something. And they knew they couldn't do something on the spot. What would they have done on the spot that would have changed anything quickly?
Come on, what are you talking about? He would have done what we've ultimately had to do. He could have said to the people, look, this thing is going to be terrible. Here's what we're going to do to tamp down the curve. We're going to close things, close schools, do all of it nationally.
We did do all of it.
We're going to go with masks. And
we did all of it.
No, he didn't do that. Okay. He started doing it, and then right away he says, but I want to reopen by Easter Sunday, April 12th.
So that's what he wanted to do. Doesn't mean it happened,
yep.
Did it? All right.
But he was never all in with the plan. He was half in, half out. these conflicting messages.
Okay.
He's got a corona task force led by Mike Pence saying, do this, this, and this. And then you have Trump going out saying, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Tell the governors of all these states to reopen their states when they were spiking up in Michigan and Wisconsin.
Okay.
And all.
All right,
it was
John.
It was badly handled by Trump.
I think, and I don't know anyone who would have done it any better. Be quiet. But we're out of time. I want to thank you for your extra time. That was a big ask on my part.
And by the way, my cat would have done it better than Trump. So there's something.
All right. Thanks, John.
Okay, Larry. Bye-bye.
I'm going to vote for you. John LeBoutier, about to say voting for him, I'm going to take his place and cancel out his vote one way or the other. All right, I do appreciate him staying with us. Always engaging conversation. In the next hour, how the mainstream media is ignoring a big story right in front of them because they're all in on what can we do to label Trump a racist and to hate him and to tear him down. And all the Russian collusion stuff they thought would work didn't, and yet there's still a story in front of them that they just don't want to deal with. But we're going to. It's coming up in the next hour. I ask that you stay around for us.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.